Ferris Street in Jackson, Mississippi is similar to lots of Black-owned business sectors. It went from thriving in the 40s, 50s, and 60s to physically crumbling after segregation ended. But business leaders are trying to bring life back to this historic street. Stephen Basaha and Shalina Chotlani of the Gulf States Newsroom have the story.
It's lunch hour, and scores of customers walk into the Big Apple Inn.
Including us.
Oh, that smell.
Yeah, that smells really good.
This smells like bacon. I love it.
It's not bacon, but pig ears sizzling on the stove. Owner Gino Lee takes out a big floppy pig ear and cuts it in half. Normally, they'd boil these for days to make them edible.
Now we pressure cook them, and when you pressure cook a pig ear, it only takes a half an hour. And this is what it looks like when it's finished.
Ooh, they look like pig ears.
Yeah, imagine that.
These nine blocks were the rare place Black residents in Jackson could freely go to numerous Black-owned furniture shops, music venues, and doctor's offices. The Big Apple Inn was the place where anyone could get a hearty, affordable meal. Not just that, one of Jackson's famous NAACP leaders and martyr, Medgar Evers, rented an office upstairs. An activist would organize downstairs in the restaurant, making it a key site in the civil rights movement. But while Lee says the end of segregation those organizers helped usher in was a good thing, it actually led to many of Big Apple Inn's neighbors shutting down.
When we were allowed to go to the white establishments to eat and trade, we stopped going to our own.
Many white and Black residents decided to leave the city for the suburbs, and they took their wealth with them. That left few people and tax dollars to support Ferris Street. The Big Apple Inn chose to stay on Ferris Street to preserve its history, and that's why many people still come here. At one point, Lee tried becoming more modern. He replaced the building's wood-paneled walls with stainless steel.
Businessmen plummeted. Business went straight down to flat zero because people wanted the nostalgia of the old place.
They quickly put those paint-chipped walls back up. Stephen, Lee says the Big Apple Inn today might not be thriving, but it is certainly surviving.
Yeah, though you don't have to go far to find one that is thriving. 7 years ago, John Tier opened up Johnny T's Bistro and Blues one block up. Tier wanted to prove that it was possible for a new business to succeed on Ferris Street.
This building here, prior to me getting here, probably had the worst stigma in the city.
That wasn't always the case. In the 40s, this building was known as the Crystal Palace, a place where famous Black talent like Sammy Davis Jr. came to play. Since then, the building had changed hands and fell into neglect while earning a bad reputation. Tier spent years fixing up the club. Now, the building's reputation and business have turned around.
And even during COVID, when people went out of business, every year our numbers are up.
Johnny T's is now one of the jewels of Ferris Street. Walking up the stairs, patrons can hear lively music, see a stage for dancing, and a well-stocked bar.
Sometimes that's a shock, too, for someone that drives down Ferris Street. They're like, man, look at this area. And then they come inside, they say, oh. And then they find out that you had this wide range of spirits. I mean, we got bottles that cost $6,000, $5,000, $4,000.
Other cities are investing to revitalize their own historic Black business districts, places like Birmingham's 4th Avenue and Atlanta's West Side neighborhoods.
Yeah, but replicating Tier's success is not that easy.
Yeah, that's true, and not a lot of people have the money to do that or are up for taking that big a risk.
But just down the street, there's a family that did exactly that.
I can tell you guys that I didn't think so on paper that it was going to make any sense.
Yasmin Gabriel and her family bought a building up the block in 2020 to bring something entirely new to Ferris Street, a health food store and a vegan cafe.
The narrative normally is that people that look like us don't do this. You're going to get things that are created from nuts and grains, lima beans, you're going to get collard greens, you're going to get turnip greens. And so we're just trying to make sure that people can realize that it's not just that rich white guy who can do yoga.
While one half of Ferris Street is still mostly empty lots and hollowed out buildings, the other half is growing. Gabrielle went from renting to owning the building, from just the health food store to adding on the cafe. And now they're working on opening up a grocery store, something long missing from the greater Ferris Street area.
3 years later, 2 kids later, a whole other restaurant, and we're expanding very, very quickly.
For so long, many in this community have seen Ferris Street as a failed Black-owned business district. But Black business owners are working to make sure that's not the end of Ferris Street's story.
For NPR News, I'm Shalina Chotlani.
And I'm Stephen Basaha in Jackson, Mississippi.
And Kobe Vance of Mississippi Public Broadcasting also contributed to this story.